life.
15:21, 2QN weather.
Mostly sunny today. We're heading for a top of 22 degrees. Tomorrow should be sunny and 24. Sunday cloudy and 22. And the Bureau say that we might get some rain on Monday with a top of 19. Cloud for Tuesday and sunny on Wednesday and Thursday. Currently it's 11 degrees. We have a southeasterly wind blowing at 11 kilometres per hour. The humidity 71% and the barometer 1024 hectopascals and rising.
Across southern New South Wales and northern Victoria, you're listening to 1521 2QN.
Well, it's been a bit of a slow news week, but joining us on the line to have a bit of a look at some of the things that have happened this week is broadcaster from 2GB, Jason Morrison. Jace, good morning.
Samuel, g'day.
How are you going, Jason?
Well, yeah, going well. I mean, we're getting a bit of rain here, which is lovely. Nice to actually... After having a bit of a dry spell, but of course, you know, we get gentle rain in Sydney. It's all around us, it's copping it, and in northern New South Wales, it's this incredible flooding situation. So it's kind of not enough or heaps at the moment.
Yeah, any chance you can send some of that rain our way?
Yeah, look, if I could, mate, you know what I'd do.
We'd appreciate it. So we've had this Anise Small story this week. It's kind of dominated the news cycle. I don't know if you saw the Herald Sun on Wednesday. Had the headline, "Bring Mummy Home." It's possibly the worst piece of journalism I've seen for a while. Second paragraph, quote, "Please, please, please, Mr. Rudd, let our mummy come home," said 12-year-old Jeanne Small on behalf of her sisters.
Yeah, a sense of proportion would be nice, wouldn't it? That's the biggest story that has occupied, I mean, many of the news bulletins, much of the discussion, because a lady found herself in trouble in another place because did she or didn't she break the look? Who knows? I mean, one of the things I find extraordinary is kind of how the media cherry picks these people that they are going to fight for the rights for. There are injustices that are all through the community everywhere, and all of a sudden somebody, because it just happens to sort of suit the period, and you mentioned the Quiet Newsweek, I get the feeling there's a bit of that thrown into all of this as well, because it happens to suit it, that's the story and the campaign that they jump upon. When you nail down the facts of it, she paid the price for breaking a local law. She paid the price for probably being a little rough with the people who arrested her and accordingly got the treatment. I mean, I guess it says something about the Thai officials that, indeed, with a bit of pressure from the Australian government, unlike our other neighbours little to our north, be Indonesia,
yeah.
Just don't seem to listen to us, at least these people did. So I don't know whether that's a good or a bad sign, but whatever the case, I mean, you're right. Sometimes you just look at these things and wonder, you know, where does the media get off a bit? Look, she's home. Mummy came home, and the little girl got her prayers answered, all of that. And that's all very lovely, and without wanting for a moment to sort of want to wish it ill upon anybody, it kind of just jumped at me that the whole thing was heavily out of proportion.
Yeah. Now, fuel in this area costs a fair bit more than it does in your neck of the woods in Sydney, but yesterday a BP service station in Blacktown was charging 49 cents per litre, and you had politicians there for a photo opportunity filling people's cars up. I mean, what's going on there?
Well, look, this actually, whilst being a bit of a stunt, is about the third or fourth time this family-owned business has pulled this particular thing, doing the discount fuel. Why are they doing it? A lot of it has to do with a lot of what you just said then. We have a situation where fuel costs significantly more where you are versus where I am. Why is that? Why is it more expensive when, in Sydney and Deniliquin than it is, say, in Queensland? Why is it more expensive in some places and not others? A lot of this, you throw a whole lot of factors together, but it all comes down fundamentally to this issue of geographical price discrimination, where from location to location, the price varies. Because of travel costs and delivery costs, but just because there is an ability due to competition factors for people to be able to charge that, people being the oil companies.
Well, in this area, Jason, usually, and I haven't checked it this time, but usually when I'm down here, the price of fuel in Deniliquin is more than it is in Echuca. And you think about the two, they're pretty much, they're kind of same distance from any of the major fuel centres. They're both inland towns. It just doesn't make much sense.
Well, I'd only be hazarding a guess, but I'd have a feeling a little bit of it would have to do with competition, and a little bit of it would have to do with the ability to be able to charge that money. Now, of course, what's going on here is that this family-owned petrol station at Blacktown in Sydney's west is being crushed because it's surrounded by major multinational-owned petrol stations, and they can actually buy petrol cheaper. Oh, let me turn this around for a second. The family-owned petrol station actually has to buy petrol at a higher rate wholesale than the big corporation-owned petrol stations can buy it and sell it retail. I mean, think about that. It would be cheaper for the Elkuri people to go down the road with a tanker and fill up at the local Woolworths petrol station than it would be for them to buy it from the wholesaler.
It's just nuts.
That's extraordinary. And they're doing this. And look, you know, I mean, there were politicians out there. Barnaby, which was there, and Senator Nick Xenophon. I mean, these are guys that occasionally are quite ideologically opposed, but they unite on this point. It is unacceptable. Use your example of Deniliquin versus Echuca. Use your example of Deniliquin versus Sydney or Sydney versus Canberra. It's unacceptable that people should be paying significantly more just because they're in a different location. Now, we can cop, because we're all wise to this, we can cop that there are transporting costs involved in things, but not 15 cents and not 20 cents difference.
Yeah, yeah. Another group who like to charge us a bit, record bank fees.
Isn't it interesting, this story of a New Zealand couple that mistakenly had $10 million deposited into their account by Westpac and then decided, you know, we're going on a holiday and they're on the run and there are wanted posters out for them all around the world. They withdrew the money and disappeared. Now, I actually think the world is getting a mild kick out of this story, even though technically this is theft. Why are people wishing them luck?
It's on Ananova this morning, a UK news website. So, yeah, it's gone all around the world, this one.
Well, I think it has something to do with the fact that bank fees have kind of touched a nerve. I mean, yesterday out came the annual report from the Reserve Bank on how much banks are making from customers. $11 billion in fees and charges alone. $11
billion. With a B.
That's in a year. With a B.
Wow.
That is a figure that's jumped by about 10% from last year. And the biggest growth area, and no surprise to anyone, tune to us now, the biggest growth area is fees for penalties of people paying loans late. So these aren't interest charges. These are just penalty punishments for you paying things a little late. So in tough times, when just about every other level of society is cutting people some slack, here we have banking corporations working on the fact that they have got penalty clauses thrown into things, and in tough times, people are being hit with fees. Of that $11 billion, about 10% of the $11 billion are in penalty fees. Not in account-keeping fees, in penalty fees. And people wonder why around the world there are high fives everywhere for the Kiwi couple that are on the boat with the money. I hope they have an enjoyable time with their holiday. I mean, they'll get caught eventually, but have your fun with your tiny slice of the ill-gotten funds, because $11 billion in bank fees by anyone's standard is far too excessive. We want strong, powerful banks in this country. No doubt about it, we want banks to be very reliable and very much in business. But I don't think that anything is acceptable in this climate where you can be making that sort of money out of people just because they pay a little bit late. Hit them with interest, that's fair enough, but not penalty fees.
Yeah, the petrol prices go up because a koala coughed in Darwin, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see bank fees going up because a New Zealand couple decided to flee with some money.
Yes, that's right. We'll blame them. Let's demonise somebody. That's interesting. I don't know what's going to happen with them, but I think it's incredible. I mean, they've exploited a banking error. There'd be plenty of people who have had a bank make a mistake on their behalf. Do you have international policing organisations out there hunting for the people? No, not at all. You turn it around. It's a real interesting contrast here, which is why I think people are getting a bit of a kick out of this New Zealand couple.
Yeah, absolutely, Jason. All right, Jason, thank you very much for that.
Samuel, all the best.
You too, Jason. Jason Morrison, broadcaster with 2GB in Sydney there. Fleetwood Mac, Don't Stop. It's 14 to 9 on 2QN. Good morning.